It's always wonderful to see you wonderful people. And tonight, I have good news for you. You have often heard me say that we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. We also live, move, and have our being in a field of information, in a total field of intelligence. And we are able to communicate with that field of intelligence, which we can call God, and we do that with the cells of our body. And we do that with feeling. The feeling that we feel is how we communicate with this thing that we call God, or this information field that we absolutely are completely immersed in and one with. And what makes that absolutely so important is, if you can remember that in your body you have 50 trillion cells. Now, how do I know that? I was up all night counting. But if you remember that you have all these wonderful opportunities to communicate with this thing and to gather information from this thing that we call God or the universe itself. And you can do that with your feelings. But each cell, the membrane of each cell, interfaces with this field of intelligence. And this is not only something that religions have known, scientists now know that. And I don't know the people who have read Ernest Holmes. He said it will come a day when religion and science will walk the same path, that they will walk down the same path. And that is what it's starting to do. So we're living in a wonderful age. And of course, we're living in a communication age, aren't we? And in an information age. And we have this wonderful thing that we call the computer. And we have this thing that we call the web. And I always think of the web, when they say the World Wide Web, I think of the mind of God. Because it's out there. That information is out there. You just do something on the computer and you get all this wonderful information. So you can get that same information by using your own body, by using your own thoughts, and by using your own feelings. So that is the wonderful news that we have for you today. So now, with that said, I will start, as I always do, with spiritual mind treatment. And when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe, or this thing we call God, already knows about us. We are saying something good about ourselves. I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I know that I am one. I am one with the universe. Therefore, I am one with God. And I can use that power of God that is within me, which is in every cell of my body. And I can use it to draw to me, to use it as a magnet, to bring into my life all the abundance and the prosperity and the money that I so desire, that I so want, and that I so need. And I let that be so. And so it is. A friend of mine years ago said to me, Dallas, I have been rich and I have been poor. And I like rich better. Think of that. It's a choice. It's always a choice in your life. If you want to be rich or you want to be poor. And when I say it's a choice, yes, you say, yes, I want to be rich. Why doesn't it happen? Why am I not rich? In order to become rich, you must stretch your consciousness. You must change your belief system in some way. You must give up old thoughts, attitudes, and viewpoints that you have about yourself or about money. How many people in this room, when they were listening to their parents as they were growing up, their parent told them something, and you immediately said to yourself, I do not believe that. meaning if you find your Christmas present beforehand, Santa Claus will take it back. Something awful will happen to you if you have sex before marriage. You see? And you didn't believe that, did you? But then they said, you're stupid. You're dumb. You'll never make anything out of yourself. And you believed them. Why did you believe them? They lied to you. They lied to you. And that's what's going on with most of us today. We are still remembering something that our parents or somebody else said to us. And now we are trying to live a life while we have a belief system going on that is not correct anymore. People want to be a success, but they do not love themselves enough to become a success. You must learn to love yourself. How many people here are still doing wonderful, wonderful me every day? Are you doing it in a mirror? Are you really doing it? I explained to somebody the other day, I do it every morning. I'm in the shower, and I'm saying to myself, wonderful, wonderful me. And as I say, wonderful, wonderful me, I swing back the shower curtain, and there's a full-length mirror in front of me, and I go, ha-ha. It sounds funny. It sounds like a game. But you must be able to do that with yourself. You must be able to know how wonderful you are. And you must be able to look at what belief system is holding you back. And where did you get that belief system? From someone. When you are born, you have absolutely no beliefs whatsoever. Your mind is totally clean. And then people start to put things on that. And you start to put things on that. But you came here on this plane of action completely innocent and completely clean. And then you started to pick up all the stuff around you. And you listened to that. And you decided that those people, which I call the tall people, were right. And they weren't right. Love your parents. Bless your parents and release them. There isn't one person in here who has a parent that they totally think is great. And there's nothing wrong with that. Parents are parents. They made mistakes. They told you things that were not true. Don't believe that. Don't believe what they told you. And don't believe what your own mind is now telling you about yourself. I can't do it. I'm not enough. I should have more of this, that, or the other thing. I'll never make it. Don't let your mind do that. Don't entertain those thoughts. When those thoughts come into your mind, get rid of them. Say stop. I often have to yell at my mind and say, don't do that. Stop it right now. I am the one that's in control here. I am the one who has the power. My conscious mind is what's causing me to do things. Not that little voice inside of me. Who says, oh, I wouldn't do that. What would people think? You see, we're all old enough now to realize who cares what people think. You see, you shouldn't be worried about what other people think about you. Only what you think about yourself. Okay? Tonight's talk is about expectation. We have an awful lot of misinformation about expectation. And we are told in many forms of religion and philosophies not to expect, that having expectations will get you into trouble. But there's an old saying, you don't always get what you want, but you always get what you expect. So you have to have expectations. And what type of expectations do you want? What kind of expectations do you want? How many times in your life has something gone wrong and you said, I expected that? You see, when something goes wrong, we can always say, I expected that. Now, why do you do that to yourself? That is why this thing of expectation is so difficult to grasp. And this is why many disciplines tell you not to expect things, because you're always expecting something bad to happen. You're always expecting something that you don't want to happen. You do not keep your mind on what you do want and what you do expect in life. And you must do that. And what is the greatest thing to always expect in life?
Peace of mind.
The greatest thing in life to expect is good and greater good. You always expect good and greater good to come from anything. If the appearance is, at the moment, that good has not come, you must reaffirm that only good comes of everything, and the good will come. We often set out thinking we want one thing. We do not get that particular thing. And we think, oh, well, there, that went out the window. Would you tell them about your story about the agency?
Yeah.
Please. Now, what did that little agency say to you after you got the big agency? See, she expected to get into that agency. She did not get into that agency. So immediately, there go the expectations. But then another agency, an even bigger agency, picked her up. And the smaller agency said, I'm glad you didn't get here because we're not good at voiceovers and we don't send people out very much. That story is a wonderful story that we all do to ourselves all the time. When we don't get exactly what we think we want and expect, we go right down the tubes and we start to say, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But if you expect good and greater good always, it turns itself right around. And now she got something even better. You're seeing? She got something even better. So you must always expect good and greater good in your life. So use your expectation. Expectation is a wonderful power to draw things to you. It causes excitement. And excitement is feeling. and you draw things to you with your feelings. I know that this is called science of mind. And we think that we have to think and use our thoughts, which we do. And thoughts are wonderful, but thoughts are used to stimulate feeling. And it's the feeling that will bring it to you. The inner phase, which I told you, between the universe and your cells, is the membrane, the cell membrane itself. And it works with feelings back and forth. The universe does not know thoughts. It knows feelings. And it communicates in feelings. That's why, in the mental equivalent, Emmett Fox always says you must have warmth of feelings. Warmth of feelings. Is there anyone here who is a Shakespeare scholar? Off and on, maybe. In one of Shakespeare's plays, there is some character who is praying. And the lines go something like this. When you pray, if your thoughts go up to heaven and your heart stays below, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. I paraphrase that. You have to have a feeling. I've said many times that the life of the organism is feelings. Is feelings. Speak loudly so everyone can hear, please. All right.
I've got these goals. I'm visualizing. I want to have a feeling that associates with that.
Okay. You're an actor, are you not?
Yes.
Can you not manufacture a feeling right now if I ask you to manufacture a feeling?
Yeah, but it would be, you know, a fictitious one would be a
manufacturer. I don't give a sh. I don't care. You can do that. Let's do something. Start to laugh, everybody. Now get sad. Did I not just manufacture feelings? Did you not just manufacture feelings? There's where your feelings come from thought. Feeling always follows thought. Where do you think they come from? Out of thin air? Never. And that's where people get the wrong idea. They're waiting around for a feeling to hit them. A feeling is never going to hit you. You have to do it yourself. You have to manufacture the warmth of feeling. You have to get excited about your goals. You have to start smiling. You have to start laughing. It's the excitement that is feeling that's going to draw it to you. Is that clear with everyone? Loudly, so everyone can hear. Stand up.
So you do a treatment. And you do the treatment, and you have it with all the feeling, and you know you've got it, and your belief is there. Then you can just leave. You can let that go and know that that's done, right? You don't need to keep doing that every day.
If you do it every day, you're starting to doubt your own self, and you're saying, this thing I'm talking to is not intelligent. I better tell it another time what I want. You know? So, in reality, what you're saying is God's dumb.
Can I share?
Yes!
Nothing, no reason. sold out one day, and I still hadn't gotten it and stuff. And then I had a friend who decided to come with me, and they kept texting me, did you get them? Did you get them? Did you get them? No, are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm just like, just relax. And then Friday, one person emailed me and said, I have tickets for you for Saturday. And then later that night, somebody else emailed and said, I have tickets and VIPs for you for Sunday. I mean, it's just really ridiculous. I mean, just ridiculous. But that's almost de rigueur. There are definitely spaces where I thought that would happen as well. But this is so from this. It just is easier. I did it last year, the year before. It just gets easier every time.
It gets easier every time. Because you're building up your belief in it. And you're saying, yes, it works. And then you don't keep doubting yourself and you don't keep doubting your treatments. And you just keep going and you keep expecting good. Always good to happen. So expectation is a great thing. You need expectation. Years ago when I was a minister, before I was defrocked, there was a lady minister on Long Island. Her name was Joyce France. She was 107, I think, at the time. She was completely bent over, shriveled up, and you know what? We run around in life, and I'm guilty of this also. And we pick up all kinds of books. In fact, people gave me two books tonight. And we want to read all these books and get all this information and learn one more thing. And now this book will really tell me the truth and how to do this. And then this will be the last book I'll ever read. I remember I read Terry Cole Whittaker's book, Have Not in a Have Not World. And I thought, well, when I'm finished with this, instant millionaire. So, Joyce said to me, why are you doing all that? Everything you need to know is in this book. Everything you need to know is in this book. This is the Science of Mind book by Ernest Holmes. Ernest Holmes sometimes is difficult to understand, but I will do page 54 for you. And we'll talk about expectation. The practice of science of mind calls for a positive understanding of the spirit of truth, a willingness to let this inner spirit guide us, with the constant knowledge that the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, this is why people get a little bit confused with Ernest Holmes. When he mentions the law of the Lord as perfect, he means the law of cause and effect. Anytime that you're reading the Bible and it says Lord, you can change it to the law of cause and effect. And we must believe this to be a fact. In so far as our thought is in accord with this perfect law, it will accomplish, and nothing can hinder it. As long as your belief is there, nothing can hinder it. So don't have the belief. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, said the beautiful Jesus, because he was beautiful. As he strove to teach his disciples the immutability of the law of righteousness. And here again, the law of righteousness is the law of cause and effect. Remember last week, I said, when people ask about the law of cause and effect, or why do some people get things and other people don't, and I said, goodness has nothing to do with it. Because this law reigns on the just and on the unjust. It's a righteous law. It does not take sides with anyone. It always remains impersonable. So you use that. A practitioner uses thought definitely and for a specific purpose. And the more definitely he uses the law, the more directly will it respond to him. the more directly he uses the law by saying, this is exactly what I want, and I know that I can have this. And I'm putting a feeling into that, and I'm starting to feel about that, and I know that I can accomplish this. The law will listen to you. It will respond to you. If you have 50 trillion cells in your body, each one of the cells in your body, each one of those 50 trillion cells, has electromagnetic power. Remember that when we did, you are a magnet? It has electromagnetic power. Now, they can measure the power in each cell. And if you put all 50 trillion together, you could light up a city. That's how powerful you are. And yet you think you're not. And that's how you do it. Get everything working. And be a magnetic magnet. Draw what you want to you. And you draw it out of this field of information. You draw it out of the mind of God. You draw it out of the field of possibility. You are the magnet. You draw that to you. How many people do? I'm a money magnet. Money is always attracted to me. Yes. You draw that stuff to you. A false fact is, this is very, very important. A false fact is neither person, place, nor thing to the one who uncovers it. And once uncovered it, covered, it has no place in which to hide. A fact is not a person, place, thing, or situation. It's merely a fact. It has no life of its own. But yet you think it's so powerful. And every time you think about it, you breathe life into it and you bring it into reality. It has no life of its own. You are the one that's breathing life into it. Withdraw your interest from it. Withdraw your interest from it. Oh, light bulb go off? The illusion, seen and understood, is made negative in the experience of the one who suffers by it. Because you're suffering, you're the one that's making it negative. You're the one that decides anything is negative or anything is positive. This thing that we call God doesn't know negative and doesn't know positive. Only you do that, and you qualify everything with your thinking.
Can you say that again?
I certainly can. The illusion seen and understood is made negative in the experience of the one who suffered by it. Well, it is true that wrong conditions exist. They could not remain unless there were someone to experience them. Do you get it? You get it?
Almost.
Listen. All right. Here we go. Well, it is true that wrong conditions exist. They could not remain unless there was someone to experience them. Do you get it? Unless there's somebody to experience that, it doesn't exist at all. It's only through your experience that things start to exist. So if you want to experience something, experience it with the feeling and start to experience that you're a wonderful actor or whatever you are. And bring that into your reality. Instead of saying to yourself, well, I'm not working right now. I don't think I'll ever work again. That's the experience. You're suffering from it. Don't do it. Withdraw that energy. Withdraw that interest. That all that is interest. Do you get interested in your own story. And you tell it over and over and over. So you make everyone nauseous. Consequently, the experience must be in the consciousness. All experiences are in the consciousness. Change your mind. Change the way you're thinking about the situation, and the situation has to change. That is always such a simple thing, but so difficult for people to grasp, because they're judging always by appearances, and you can't do that. And any bad experience that comes into your life, yes, we're going to have bad experiences in our life. What do? We immediately look at that. We don't deny that. We say, yes, this is a bad experience, but I'm not going to experience it. It's a bad experience, but I am not going to experience it. I'm going to withdraw my interest from this. And I am going to realize and expect only good and greater good. And then you set the thing in motion. Yes?
I'm a believer. I'm with it.
Uh-huh. Well, why is the interest there? You see what happens, and this is very good in going to the witch's house. The interest is in race mind always. Why else do you think we see all the horrible things we do on television and on the news?
Because we're watching.
Because we're watching, and because people love to see somebody else get killed. They love to see somebody else's house burned down. They love to do all that kind of stuff. They put interest into it, and that makes them feel much better. What didn't happen to me? Ha, ha, ha. Don't even look at that. Don't even go there. Does that help you? We'll work on you tonight. Does anyone have a sledgehammer?
Okay, that'd be good.
Change the consciousness, and the false condition will disappear. If you change your consciousness, the false appearance must disappear because there's no longer any interest on it. Your attention is not on it, and it has to shrivel and die because there's no life in it anymore. The only life there is the life of truth, and the truth is that there is a God, and that God loves you more than you could ever understand. And that God is ready to give you anything that you want. That it gives this thing that we call God great pleasure to give you the kingdom. And yet you refuse to receive the kingdom because you feel that you are not worthy to have it. And you are worthy to have the kingdom. As everyone's still remembering, I am worthy, I am deserving, and I am completely lovable. You must keep those three things. You can call it the Trinity, if you wish. Say it again. Deserving, worthy, and completely lovable. Deserving, lovable, completely worthy. Three items. Everyone remembers them. I say them every week. Conditions are not entities. We are entities. Conditions are not entities. We are entities. Cannot that which is conscious cast out that which has no consciousness. Isn't that a great one? Cannot that which is conscious cast out that which has no conscious? Absolutely. Absolutely. Think of that. You have that power. You're the conscious force in this life. Your situations are not the conscious. They have no life of their own. They never have, they never will. If we properly understood this, we would be able to remove false conditions as easily as Jesus did. He knew. But our faith is weak. We must strengthen it. And we can. And you strengthen it the way Diana did. She got tickets once. Now she knows and she keeps building on that. You have to keep building your own faith. It's like feelings. It will not drop out of the sky. And you build your own belief. And you say, I believe. But help me with my unbelief. I believe. But help me with my unbelief. We're always going to have a little bit of unbelief. Always. People think, oh, you have to be completely perfect to be able to do any of this stuff. You don't have to be completely perfect. See, the big lie that was put upon us was that this man they called Jesus, which I have nothing against, by the way, and I think was absolutely master teacher, but he knew he was not perfect. But everyone wanted to make him perfect. And when we were children, we were taught that Jesus is the perfect one. And you can never be perfect because you're less than. How many people here have any kind of a thought in their mind that they think they're less than? Get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. You cannot think that you're less than. That is another lie that you picked up along the way. And if this master teacher Jesus came back, which I doubt, it's taking entirely too long, he would tell you that he was not perfect. It was the church that made him perfect. It was the church that made him perfect. And I'll go so far as to say this. If the church would put back the 54 chapters of the Bible that they deleted in the 4th century, we would have a different story to tell today. 54 chapters have been removed from the Bible, and you think you know it? You think you know it? You cannot remove 54 chapters from a book and think you know the book. Now, can you?
Were they simply segregated or were they completely destroyed?
They were completely taken out. They're not destroyed. They're in the vault in the Vatican.
Okay. So
no, you can go to the Vatican and read them if you want.
Okay.
You have to get permission. You have to get permission.
Latin and Greek and
You would have to.
Aramaic.
Yeah, you'd have to know the Aramaic to do it. And there are scholars that they do allow in there.
Are there,
and that's how we know there's 54 books missing. There are some translations. There's the translation of the Book of Mary, which was in the original Bible. It's not, they took that out. That's there. I think Thomas, the Book of Thomas, is taken out. Judas was taken out.
When was that taken out?
In the 4th century. The Council of Nicaea, or Nicene, whichever way you want to pronounce that. Yes, under Constantine. Yeah. Decided that they couldn't understand it, so no one else would, so let's just take it out.
Or that they did understand it.
No, they couldn't understand it. They were stupid.
They weren't threatened by it because it devalued their power?
They couldn't understand it. That's why they took it out. Okay. How could you have 54 chapters of something and say to a congregation, I don't understand these? So they took them out. If they didn't understand them, they said no one else could understand them, so out they came. This often happens, you know. It often happens in life. We only ever hear half the truth. You think the news we get is true? Does everyone think that we're getting the right information on the news? So what makes you think that the church is going to give you the right information? You have to learn to think for yourself. You have to learn to think for yourself and give up these belief systems and give up this faulty information that you've learned all your life that's getting you nowhere and making your life miserable. How many people can get so far in life and then they stop and something happens and they go back down again? Because they run into a brick wall. They run into a belief system. You cannot go past your belief system, people. The mind will not allow you to do that. That is the way the mind works. You see, I want to be very rich. I want all the money in the world. But I don't feel I deserve it. You think you're going to get it? No. You're not going to get it. You have to rebuild your belief system and weed that stuff out. Don't you remember when I told you about your garden? Your mind is like a garden. You wouldn't let weeds grow all over your garden. You'd weed them out. Weed those little things out of your mind. Just pick them up and pull them out. Do a visualization. What's the most powerful thing we have? Most powerful thing you have is your imagination. Use your imagination to do these things. Pull them out. And make sure that they don't grow back. Pull these things out. But learn. Okay? Let us analyze this. One finds himself impoverished. Sounds familiar. He wishes to change his condition. He knows that it is not in accord with ultimate reality. Here again, ultimate reality means God. Ultimate reality means that you can have all these things. That the Spirit imposes no limits. Therefore, he knows that his apparent limited condition has no real law to support it. It has no basis for support. It has no law to support it. It is simply an experience of consciousness. That's all lack and limitation is an experience of consciousness, and you can change that experience. You can change any experience in your life. He wishes a definite result in the opposite direction. First, he realizes that the law of life is a law of liberty and freedom. Here again, you see how he switches things around. It confuses people. The law of life is the law of cause and effect. And the law of cause and effect is the law of liberty, of freedom. You see, your freedom lies in the law of cause and effect. Because you're free to do anything you want once you're into the law. He now states that this law of liberty is flowing through him and into all his affairs. But the image of his limitation persists. Here is a definite contradiction of his statement of freedom. You see, You make a statement, I am rich, but the old thing persists. You must get rid of the old thing. How do you do that? By convincing yourself. What did Mary Baker Eddy say? I'll tell you. Mary Baker Eddy said, you must argue with your mind. Now everyone remember. You must argue with your mind like a lawyer in front of a judge, and you must always win. You must always win. Yes, argue with your mind. When your mind tells you, oh, I'm a failure, I'm a this, I'm a that. First of all, no human being can ever be a failure. A failure is an event, not a person. It's just an event. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever.
And the event per se is merely a condition which is only existing as long as you're experiencing.
As long as you're experiencing, as long as you're thinking about it, as long as it's in your consciousness, you're breathing life into it and it persists. So you withdraw that. Making sense? Right here he must stop and declare that these images of limitation are neither person, place or thing, that they have no power, no personality, no presence, and no real law to support them. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. I say that all day long to things that come into my mind. I know they're not real. Why would I want to breathe life into them? They came out of nowhere. They come out of nothing. They have no life. Tell them to get out of there. He does not believe in them, and they cannot operate through him. Don't believe in those, and they cannot operate through you. Only what you believe in becomes real. The whole basis of this thing called science of mind is that it's done unto you as you believe. That's the simple. You don't have to read this whole book. I just gave it away. It's always done unto you as you believe. And any of the other books that you read, if you read them correctly, it'll tell you that. It's your thinking that's stinking. Don't do it to yourself. Yes?
If someone says something unkind, and then you feel victim, or then less than, all the things you refer to, that's what kind of gets me, then I get back in the thing of, and I will admit, and that's why I'm here, and I'm hanging on.
I know you are. Yes.
And I'm that far, but I'm not the whole way yet. And when if someone says critical things about me, how I look, how I act, what I think, and I really don't know how to put up the sentry or the barrier or the Teflon.
Okay.
I have the concepts, but I don't know how to.
Okay, I'm going to address this in one moment, and that's a very good question because we all do that to ourselves. But one of the things that most of us do and you do continually is you always give your power and your authority away to somebody else and you believe what they're telling you. Instead of saying to them, get out of my life and stay out of my life, you have never brought me any good news. You will never bring me any good news. You have never been a friend of mine. Now go to... Yes. Okay. He does not believe in them, and they cannot operate through him. He is free from their influence forever. Forever. He then begins to fill his thoughts with the idea of faith, the expectancy of good, and the realization of plenty. He senses and mentally sees right action in his life. He puts his whole trust in the law of good. And it becomes very real to him as he definitely speaks it into his being. Into his being and into the being of his affairs. He denies anything and everything that contradicts his realization of this truth. At this point of realization, he meets a friend who immediately begins to tell a tale of woe about hard times, bad business conditions, etc., etc. And should he listen to this tale of the serpent? Tale of the serpent. He might reverse his previous affirmations and make negative his former mental and spiritual concepts. This does not mean that he should refuse to hold conversations with people for fear they will neutralize the position which he has taken in his mind, but that he should refuse mentally to accept the false position. Then he can talk with anyone and not be disturbed. And not be disturbed. Listen to people. Don't take it in. Oh, I think you're ugly. Oh, you'll never make it. Oh, well, you know, I tried that and it didn't work. Oh, thank you very much. And go on. Just go on. Don't listen to people. Don't give your authority away. Keep inside your own self. All right, now we're almost ready here. The time will come when we will let our conversations be in heaven and refuse to talk about, read, or think about those things that ought not be. Those things that ought not be. And what do we talk about usually? Those things. We talk about those things. Don't talk about them. Turn off the 11 o'clock news. Turn off the soap operas. Turn off all that. Oh, you don't like that one?
Oh, it was funny. Awesome.
But someone will say, should we refuse to look at sickness? I know somebody always says that one. Should we refuse to look at sickness, poverty, and unhappiness? This is not what we are discussing. We will not refuse to help the helpless or lift up the fallen. But we will refuse to wallow in the mud because of our sympathies. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And that's what you get around. You're both blind, you talk to people, and you fall into the ditch. The idea in life is to lift yourself up. And when you lift yourself up, you lift other people up. When you lift yourself up, you lift other people up. When you can make a demonstration, you're lifting somebody up. When you can do something for yourself and prove it, you have lifted somebody up. You must become a light unto this world and unto yourself. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.